Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Sandra, I need to excuse myself for about an hour or so, and I will be back on the call as soon as I get done with this closing.
Okay, we'll let you. We'll send you a message if we're through by then. We could be. But thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, are there questions? But, you know,
Terry?
Yes, Terry, please.
I don't want anyone to assume on the basis of Mr. Edward Stigert's comments that the election supervisor has extended deadlines in order to extend his employment because there are circumstances that the election supervisor had no control of that required extension of the balloting period in certain station areas.
Yeah. Thank you. And
Yeah. Where are we? I've lost my place in the agenda here.
We were talking about budget updates, and you said one thing is the election. And again, the point that Terry made is very clear that in no way are we suggesting that that the NES is would extend it, because what I saw was actually did not come from the NES, but was a decision by the courts in New York to extend it. So I'm sure the NES doesn't have any pull there.
Oh,
but,
Terry again.
We can get into a lot of discussion on this, and we can kind of like wrap it up in about 5 minutes. Terry, please.
Yeah, and although I haven't seen the contract for the NES either, and I'm chair of the elections committee, I'm pretty sure that a mentioned deliverable would be completion of the election, but
yeah,
that certification of the elections would not be a deliverable that the NES would be responsible for, because he has to retain the ability to threaten not to certify in order to obtain compliance.
Okay, any other comments?
I just had one other item, Madam Chair.
The other updates, because you talked about legal and elections, and definitely on the revenue for CPB.
Yeah.
And what is the other item?
That was it. That was it. CPB elections. And I think it was one other item, but I don't remember. But, yeah, those are the big items that are ADA, I mentioned, that are still question marks in terms of their impact on the budget. There's one other. That was one other I could bring up. Now, we wanted to move to the WBI recovery plan, I assume, at some point. But, But that's it on the big picture items that I am aware of at this point, connecting to the budget. And I'm thinking that we would have to present, I'll present at the January meeting the three budgets that are still on a 3-month hiatus back here to finance for sending along to the PNB. Those budgets are still up in the air, so I'm working on those right now.
And that includes the BAI, the National Office Archives, right?
Archives, yeah. They're trying to see what the impact of all the budget things we've just discussed will have on those budgets, because they're not isolated from the things we've been discussing in terms of their impact.
I have a question. We know that we have this $850,000 exposure. You talked some about that. You talked about... So you and I met with Nicole Sawyer, the new executive director, and talked about some things along these lines yesterday. So, like the things that can be done like immediately that will not require, like some of the issues at WBAI, can we talk about, you know, what are some of the cost-cutting measures that are in place now and where there are issues with those measures to reduce costs?
At WBAI?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Can we just move on to that item, WBAI recovery plan?
Right. Is there any other discussion on that? Please move to those items.
Well, Rudy, chime in where you are, wherever you need to. But, boy, a lot to talk about, but a lot has happened. The three areas concern with WBAI was its revenue projections. And there was, of course, a lot of discussion at the LSB about whether the revenue projections were reasonable or not. Well, we do have the numbers for the first drive, and the goal was $850. They will come at $817, give or take $15,000 or $20,000. But it was difficult. It was not easy. The second area of concern was the fulfillment rate at WBAI. And what has happened is Phil Alcigator from our office and I went to WBAI, and we looked over the fulfillment issues and related issues. And there were a lot of issues that were related to the fulfillment rate that's in the budget. Fulfillment rate was projected at 83%. Question mark. How do you get WBI's fulfillment rate to go from 78 to 83%? That's part of what we're talking about. Well, Phil went and he looked at the working with Bernard and Robert Scott Adams, looked at the fulfillment operation there. The outcomes that are now, I'll spare you the details, but the outcomes that are now under consideration for change is that the fulfillment director is no longer with the station. And a new fulfillment director will be in place to look at making the needed changes. The second major change is that moving the fulfillment operation out of the station and having a fulfillment house take over the operations related to packaging and mailing the premium. And have the in-house people concentrate on processing premium orders and customer relations. That is to say, you have a number of people who are upset and concerned because they weren't getting their premium. And the idea here is to focus on all those folks who either have not gotten premiums or have complaints, or who are unredeemed pledgees who you can call and process their issues and complaints and assure them that there are changes at the station and those premiums will get out in an orderly way. So the fulfillment issue of how to move that fulfillment process in a much more efficient basis, significant changes are in place.
So I have a quick question. Does the fulfillment area have a staff of volunteers that come in and, like, package premiums, you know, contact the listeners when there are issues? Is there a volunteer group to do those things, or are we looking at staff people?
Well, they have volunteers that process pledges, but there are one or two volunteers that have come in, especially on concentrating on some unredeemed pledges, yes. There were people working on a volunteer basis to call people who had not redeemed their pledges, to hear what their issues and complaints were, and encourage them, of course, to redeem those pledges. But in the premiums department, they're working with two and a half FTEs, and they're paid staff. And those folks, the volunteers to not a lot of space there, and volunteers aren't terribly reliable. So the idea is to have the premium component of this whole process be made more efficient and more reliable so people who do make pledges can get their premiums in a timely way. So that's the premium area where the changes are.
Can I just, one other point? You know, KPFA works with the volunteer staff to move the premiums, to come in and also, there's a person I think who's paid maybe half-time, or had a student that was paid partly by University of California, Berkeley. But still you have a staff of, that's one of those, in fact, I did this when I first got started back in 96. But that's one of those things that really, you know, requires, you could use a volunteer force to get that done. And, you know, and at KPFA, I mean, it's consistent. You have people who were there, like, for years. In fact, I know one person who was, like, you know, this person just made a transition. But that's what she did. I mean, when she wasn't out, like, protesting at the School of the Americas and stuff. So, you know, in terms of reliability, you know, I don't think that's a problem with the volunteers. I think that's a problem with management and staff in terms of cultivating that volunteer group to do that, because that is the most, you know, the thing that can be done most swiftly and get the most bang for your buck without, you know, so that's just, we need to get, you know, best practices of whatever throughout the network. We need to make sure that those are implemented at the other stations. And where it's not done, we need to look at why not. And that's definitely a management and staff issue of not being able to have a staff of volunteers to get that done.
Yeah, that's true. Volunteers are a lot cheaper, and it is easy, presumably. But that's one of the issues. Volunteers at the station coming through have a mixed experience. Let's put it that way.
Let me rephrase that. We really need to, in terms of identifying issues to take up to the ED, that is one of the major issues I see there for not having that volunteer staff to make those things happen. I'm sure that happens at PFW because they have a huge volunteer staff, and I'm sure Texas too, and even K. So why that can't be done at BAI, there has to be, I mean, it's definitely a staff management problem there.
Let me just get to, yes, I won't comment on personnel at this point, but I will talk about the finance part. Let me just go to these other two critical issues I still see there at WBAI, which I sort of want to bring up. The other one is the issue of, remember we had identified it in my recovery plan, that of something like $720,000 a station is spending on occupancy costs.
Yeah.
That is for the transmitter and for the building. And as you can see in my CFO report, I wanted to explore what were the options open to the station. And you can see them all there. I won't repeat them. Get a building of their own. Go to the city, get a rehab building from these enterprise zones, which happens in many cities. Every city has rehab buildings. Cities themselves own some of these rehab buildings. And there are going to be more with all the foreclosures in this economy that we have. And WPFW needs a building, and that's one of the things they went to the mayor. The mayor came up with a list of 15 buildings for potential rehab. But the cost of rehabbing a building and moving a station, of course, is an issue. Even if the building is free, it still costs to move a station, and it costs to rehab any new building for occupancy for a radio station. So anyway, the options for WBAI that I had identified were what we call enterprise zone money, so rehab building. And one of them is municipal bonds, which is to say you go to the city and the city essentially floats the bonds, tax-free municipal, and it works with nonprofits to re-energize depressed areas of the city. The likely spot in New York is Harlem. So that is the municipal bond route, which I did explore, identified a municipal bond broker. And yeah, the municipal bond brokers will work with us, but unfortunately, I hate to show a bad year when you're trying to get support from cities and banks.
Your ratios are all down the tube.
Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. Not a good year, but I'm working. I think I've got interest.
Okay.
The second route is going commercial route to a commercial bank. In this case, the bank that we work with in New York is Chase. Chase is interested in working with us around a real estate loan. And one that would be affordable. I put some of the dollars that would be involved if you were to get a loan for, I don't know, $2 or $3 million, and that would allow you to essentially put a down payment on a building and move in, and you could save $15,000-$20,000 a month, and the station would save about $120,000 a year doing that. That would be the money not only to move, but the money to rehab. Then the other route is to sublease in cheaper quarters someplace else. And that was explored. And that's a way to go. But their square footage there, the dollar per square foot is pretty small as it is. They're paying like $28,000 a month. But they're getting 8,100 square feet. And so they're paying $3.50 a square foot, whereas people in Manhattan on Wall Street are paying $40, $50, $60 a square foot. So, and then there's the issue of getting out of the lease. That is, if you were to move and identify a building, sublease someplace else or lease someplace else at a much lower cost, you still have the problem of getting out of the lease. It doesn't expire until 2013. So the last item was that I explored with a number of people in New York was what to do about WBI's short-term cash flow issues, right? And they have had short-term cash flow issues where they couldn't make payroll or barely made payroll or had restricted funds. Now, the good side of it is they have $200,000 toward a building already in the bank. That is to say, they're not without their restricted dollars for earmarked for building. So they're not starting with $0. So they have, that's the good side. The bad side is operating funds. And what I explored with the banks, because I was trying to test the marketability and the creditworthiness of that station with Chase Manhattan, who's been with them for a while. And Chase Manhattan would be willing to look at a line of credit to cover shortfalls for payroll only with board approval. That is to say, the board has to approve it from the bank's point of view to cover short cash shortfalls around payroll issues. So that's what I found out. Where are we now? Well, where are we now is Chase Manhattan is willing to look at a line of credit with board approval. They're also willing to look at a real estate loan. The municipal bond people are saying that you're looking at 8, 9, 10 months. So Shorenstein, who owns the building, approached them saying, we'd like to break the lease. And after the door slammed, I went back and called them from downstairs. Literally, they were not interested. I called them and said, you really should think twice about letting us out of the lease. They sent me, and I got to run around, and I'm moving my way up the chain of people. Talk to Shorenstein and stuff. We're going to talk to the mayor to see if the mayor can talk to Shorenstein and see if he can let us out of the lease. We're not profit. The last option that some people in the mayor's department there have mentioned is that one way to go is exactly what. Is to have WBI not think in terms of just moving to quarters for itself, but moving it to buying a building where it could lease, you know, with more space than it needs, and have the building become a source of income. That is to say, don't look for 8,100 square feet. Look for 15,000 square feet and have the municipal bond people purchase that building and have what's called a nonprofit building. That is to say that the building would be purchased, and WBAI would own the building and rent out half of it to other nonprofits, which city programs would be then you put in place, and that it would help for offset the cost of the mortgage, and that the city would profit by having city programs. Now, we're doing that at WBFW as well, that the mayor said, we'll give it a rehab building, and we'll put some city programs. We'll put a media center in there and rehabs for teach urban youth how to do radio, how to do media, et cetera, and the city gets money from the feds, and everybody's happy. So that's another way to do it. Work with the city. I've done that in San Francisco, and it's fairly commonly done. And more buildings will be coming on the market, forfeitures, defaults. So it's a good time to look. So anyway, those are some of the possibilities and sort of an update on them. Now, salaries. One of the parts of the recovery plan was to reduce salaries by 5%. WBI people have had, predictably, negative reactions to that. And it'll come up at tomorrow's board meeting. And the idea is that the procedures for working with the unions and the unpaid staff have not been followed. And there'll be the request that those procedures be followed and that this be looked at in terms of its impact on the morale of the staff. And that's sort of where we are now. Financially, while the first drive was close to goal, the remaining issues are the second drive becomes critical, they're living from drive to drive, and there is a backlog of debt to $300,000 or so, and additional legal on the horizon, which, well, can only make things worse in terms of cost. So, not out of the woods. Still got issues. Still need to put the station on a financial solvent basis. And listenership may continue to go down, in which case all of that adds up to more trouble. Anyway, that's a quick summary.
Okay, are there comments, points, questions? I guess I have a couple questions. Lenny, we talked about, we talked about the whole thing with the building and what we do there. So, it gets back to, why do we have WBAI? Do we have it there to, generate funds to maintain a building, or we have it there to, for radio programming? And we continue to lose listeners every year. So anytime we do revenue projections, we have to take into account the declining listener base. And then we're going forward with plans to find a new facility and perhaps open it up and use it to have other not-for-profits coming in. It's like I won't say that we've lost, but the reason for WBAI is not clear anymore.
Elaborate, please. What's your thought there?
Did you ask Baruti? Baruti, what are you thinking? Because these are we're in dire circumstances with BAI. Dire. And the finance, what only thing we can do is just say that things, whether it's an opinion or looking at whether it's profitable or not, or whether we even have the financial ratios that would even allow us to really do a loan, and then the back in the loan would be the Pacifica Foundation, and BAI is not contributing has not repaid the past debt, so it's not contributing to the central services. So again, what is the feeling? I mean, have we lost sight of the goal of why we're there, or what are we trying to do, just tread water or what? Do we have any response there?
Rudy, are you there?
Rudy, are you there? I'm hearing echoes.
Oh.
Rudy, what's the feeling there? Are people aware that things are so, we're in desperate straits, dire straits? Whatever the song is.
It's a band.
Baruti, are you back? Okay, until Baruti comes back, are there other comments, concerns?
Terry.
Terry, please.
That's Brian after.
Yeah, the reason Pacifica needs an outlet in New York is pretty obvious. New York is an intellectual and cultural hub that could and should be the place where a lot of important programming for the network as a whole is generated, and Pacifica could sustain consistent losses at WBAI if its contribution to the network in general made up for that loss through its contribution of programming to other stations through the network medium. But we're not acting like a New York-based network currently, and so it's hard for New York to meet its potential as a value to the network. But the potential is always there, And so we just have to realize it.
Brian here.
Yes, Brian.
I don't think we're going to answer broad philosophical questions from the Finance Committee. I mean, I think you're right, LaVarne. I mean, clearly programming issues are closely involved with some of the financial problems WBAI has. It's not something we're going to fix through the financial oversight process. I do think there is a connection between them because I think it takes some amount of money to support good programming. Even our best unpaid programmers here need the support of paid staff. We're providing administrative support, technical support, doing the subscriptions and fulfillment services. We actually have a fairly well-staffed subscriptions department here, volunteer stuff to orders, but the people who deal with the distributors are paid staff. Who manage the phone room or paid staff, paid for their time. At any rate, I think anything Lonnie can do to free up some more unencumbered money there is a good thing. I mean, I think the amount of money that BAI is spending for the space it's in restricts its ability to invest in anything that might make its programming better. The only other way to free up money is through cuts, which are going to be painful and maybe divisive. I don't know how many cuts BAI can afford, obviously, because I'm not on the ground there. But this is not a bad idea to explore. It's not going to fix all the problems there. But I mean, it's a good thing. I just hope that if it moves forward, we'll see a well-vetted, bulletproof plan before the network takes in any debt or moves assets from other parts of the network.
Well, I'm still working with the banks in New York and these other folks. And what I plan to do is to bring to the PNB and say, this is what is possible. That is, you know, what are the options? What's open to us? And then have the discussion, you know, of the options. But my main goal is to reduce the dollar drain. And if that station can save $100,000 or $120,000, well, that won't solve every problem. At least it won't. We won't be in a situation where the problems multiply, and that's sort of my goal. If they can save $120,000 by doing something different with the space that they occupy, or sublet that space, and not pay $26,000-$27,000 a month. Is still something to work with. And of course, you have to go through the landlord to do that. But yeah, I still have to keep punching away because the save the dollar, so that whenever we come up with a solution, we will at least stop the dollar drain, and that's sort of the goal I'm working with now. And the folks there are working. They did 24 hours, 24 days, and that's unfortunately debilitating. But they're not seeing many other options. I'm trying to generate some other options. We are, working with a gala idea down at the WPFW is working. They need a building, too. And they found that publicizing their need really helped them because the mayor came up with a list of 15. So they're raising money to rehab on any one of those 15 buildings and solve the problem their way. They have to be out by November. That building's been sold. And they're going to put condos up. So it's not like they can hope to stay. And they've got the same problem. How do you move? Once you move, find the money to move. How do you refit your new quarters? So they're really working it now. And it's working already to the extent they publicize they need a building. They've got people on the air telling all of D.C. they need a building, and they're holding this fundraiser to get that building. And the city is the first step right up. And now they're trying to get on the road to raise the money they need to buy, move, lease, or otherwise relocate in a year. So that's what they need to do.
So how are they going as far as ticket sales and stuff with the gala?
Well, they're the prototypes, you know, for they see themselves as building the template for other stations that may need to do this, not only for a building, but just to raise money. They think their break even is about 700 tickets sold. They've sold 700 tickets. They think you're going to get to a minimum of 1,000, maybe 1,100 people. They've got tables sold. Remember, they're on the air now. They've got Harry Belafonte doing carts, Dick Gregory, Amy Goodman, some local people, and they're happy about the ticket sales. Now they're working on the organizational sales or the table sales, and they look to be doing fairly well. So they're keeping their fingers crossed and getting religious, and everybody's working scared to make sure that this thing works. But they feel pretty good about it. They're at this point, they wanted 700 pre-sold tickets. They have 700 pre-sold tickets. And they're going to sell the tables out, whether people show up or not, those tables will be sold. And they're selling, you can sit at Amy Goodman's table, $2,000. You can sit at Harry Belafonte's table, $500. And those tickets are selling. So we can see what's possible to get done. So.
Wait a minute, let me understand this. How much for Amy and how much for Harry?
Well, they, WPFW, their website, you can go there and sort of see the table rates. But yeah, they're selling. Amy sells more at a higher price, and as a reception too.
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful. So, are the other? This is just an aside, and I'll stop it. But so, are some of the other stations linking up with this event on the 26th or 15th? Right.
Well, we're going to do a webcast, and we'll do a video feed for any station that wants to repackage that as a video. We'll come away from the event with a DVD, so that'll be a premium ready. We're going to do a post editing on it too. That's part of our package, so that the event will be memorialized. Democracy Now! Is working with us,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we're just pulling out all stops and trying to make the event as noteworthy as possible. But, you know, Amy's going to interview the awardees, and so that's, you can't buy that kind of publicity.
Right.
And on her show. And she's very excited and high about it and promoting it. So, and there's WPFW saturated. WBAI, by the way, is also doing some carts, publicizing the event, because people can easier get down from New York than they can from the West Coast. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so far, so good. We'll see. You know, hope there's no blizzard.
Yeah, don't wish. No. Okay. Are there any other comments? You know, I found one of the manuals here, and it says revision as of 6:30:07.
I have it here. I apologize. I just can't see. I don't know what I did. I must have downloaded it when I backed up my computer. I'll keep working. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here running my mouth. That's all I really have, folks. I don't have much more than that.
Okay. So the issue before the PNB tomorrow is there's an issue from the LSB at BAI concerning salary about means to reduce expenses, including perhaps salary personnel reductions. Is that's what we were talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the one I think Bob Letter is going to bring up.
Okay. All right. Okay. Are there any other comments, questions? Okay. You said you were going to talk about national mail drops in the BAI. Do you have something up on that quickly?
Sorry, I did have one question, LeBarn. I'm sorry, my brain's moving slow. Lonnie, the cuts that were in the 2008 budget for BAI that wound up getting approved, have they been implemented?
Well, that's what we're saying is no. They're being objected to, and that's going to be on the PNB agenda tomorrow. The grounds are.
Does that mean they're currently spending more than budgeted?
Yeah, are they spending more than budgeted right now?
Yeah.
The answer would be yes, because they were supposed to come in November 1st, and they have not been implemented. And the LSB wanted to have the procedures, consultation with the union's paid and unpaid staff. They apparently management did consult with paid staff, but they didn't consult with unpaid staff. And that step is what they're working on right now.
Can you clarify what role
towards those cuts?
Can you clarify what role unpaid staff has in negotiating pay cuts for paid staff?
Yeah, well, that's what's going to be debated at tomorrow's PNB. That's what will be debated. It will be brought up, and so it'll be presumably resolved tomorrow.
But the big, can I just get on the stack as a brewery?
Oh, please. Yeah, we were trying to get you.
I'm sorry. I'm in the office working. I had to step away. I thought the bigger issue was the union's resistance to this, right? I mean, I know the union is the one that's saying that they're not going along with this. Is that correct?
No union. They have a grievance. That's true. But I haven't got a copy of any union grievance. Yes, that's true, Bruce. But I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking with Bob about it. I said, show me the grievance. I haven't seen it. So he presumably will send it out tomorrow, get a hold of it. But, no, the only part of it that I'm aware of is that the union people were consulted, and the contract says consultation is all that's needed to not approval. But apparently their argument was that the consultation with the unpaid staff, which was in their contract, had not been completed on the grounds that, wait a minute, they're not impacted by this. Why should I have to consult with them? But apparently it's an issue, and their two unions are joining together on it. So... It's coming back to the PNB.
So, can I say one other thing, Lonnie? Robert, our GM, has he received, or has he said he received the complaint from the union, or whatever they're supposed to file a grievance?
I'm not clear on that. That's one of the questions I have, because I was saying, if there is a grievance, I haven't received it. Where did it go? And... I was saying that it had gone to Robert, and I said Robert hasn't forwarded it to me, so I'm still yet not in receipt of a grievance from the union.
Mm-hmm. And the last question, Lonnie, what role does our legal counsel play in this process when you have union, you know, a situation like this with the union?
Well, you know, if there's a question of whether an unpaid staff has standing
mm-hmm.
to have a grievance around a paid staff issue, legal counsel would be asked his or her opinion, I presume, and that will happen tomorrow too.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of a station manager's interaction with the union on something like this, it's left to the station manager, and then if there's a problem, then counsel gets called in.
Well, generally, yeah. That is, station management's in charge of negotiating with the union around wages and working conditions. That's sort of standard and routine. If there are legal issues, in this case a grievance, there's an attorney in New York that would pick up the case and work with the union. And if it's something that the PNB deals with directly, then corporate counsel would work with it. The two attorneys would probably work together, but that's sort of how it flows up, that there's a local attorney in New York that works with that union, who would talk to management about how to handle that grievance.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my expectation as to how it's in fact happened. The fact that a PNB member brought it directly to the PNB does go outside that process.
Okay.
Interesting. So the other questions, if you just briefly... Rudy, I mean, the fact that things are like, I mean, the shortfall, you know, not going by the potential cost savings that we're trying to implement, and the fact that, I mean, do people have a sense that things are like really not well at BAI?
Well, I, to be honest with you, I think really the focus has really been on the elections. So, I mean, we have inquired, and that's another thing, you know, because we were supposed to be getting these weekly financial updates from management, which we haven't gotten. So,
true.
I mean, we have, the inquiry has been made from the local finance committee about, you know, what's happening with that. But, so the local finance committee, you know, when we meet, we are discussing it, but in just to say that the LSB has been addressing it, to be honest with you, and I don't have to let you guys know, there's a whole election debacle, for lack of a better word, that's kind of caught focused, and everybody's attention is kind of focused on that. So that's really where, you know, that's really where people's attention has been.
Okay. Are there any other comments, concerns? Lionel, are you still looking for the financial policies, procedures?
Yes. And
like I said, I have one. It says revision as the one. Well, the one I opened here, revision as of 6/30/07, and it
I
has.
Have it.
That's not it. It has some payroll stuff in here, but it's like it's. There are notes on this one.
Yeah, I'm going through a whole list of ones I have here, so bear with me.
Okay. Yeah, Brian.
I just have to say I'm a little concerned. Because during the budgeting process when we discussed the situation at BAI, Lonnie, you said that if the station continued spending as it was and earning as it was without changes, they wouldn't be able to make payroll by Christmas. And what we're hearing is that the station did not meet its budgeted fund drive goal, although it came close, which is better than not coming close, that the station has not reduced its spending to even the levels that were in the proposed 2008 budget, which some of us were skeptical about. And I'd remind you all that several people thought the fulfillment numbers that this budget was based on were very optimistic. I'm glad you're pursuing the building in the long term, and I think it's a good thing to do for BAI, but I'm very concerned about the short term, particularly since the rest of the network is getting short on cash. I guess what I'm looking for, Lonnie, is your take on the cash flow situation there. How soon are you going to be dipping into other accounts in the network to make payroll at BAI?
Yeah, it's an issue, no question. There are no good solutions. If I had a really great one, I'd bring it up. But here are the possible outcomes. The possible outcomes are that, let's go worst case, station won't be able to make payroll. If the station doesn't make payroll, the network will have to make a decision. They'll have to take the funds from somewhere else, declare salary holiday, and go next step in terms of various kinds of cutbacks or whatnot. That can happen. The next possible outcome or any combination is that some of the financial measures that I'm working with won't solve the basic structural issues, but it will buy the network and WBI more time while they try to deal with some of the underlying issues. And that's what I'm working on right now, buying time. Not solving the problem, but putting in place things that will give the network and the station time while they contemplate other issues. That's what the board says. Well, we'll give them a line of credit if it's like they do in any institution. We'll give you short-term funding in exchange, but we want from you to reduce your expenses so that your revenues and your expenses match. That's option two. Option three, I'm just talking about it in terms of how finances work, is it goes into receivership. And it goes, station can't make the tough decisions. Then, like school districts, station is taken over financially by an outside person, group, whatever. And those tough decisions get made that way. Their fourth option I've seen is a total reorganization of the station, looking at increasing the number of volunteers, reducing the paid staff, and putting things back together on that ground, also including things like a total look at the programming, anything that can be revenue producing. Some stations have simply gone off the air for 5 or 6 months and done and got that work done. Sometimes what happens is the station is put up for lease or sale to raise money to do reorganizations or to retool or to move or to buy a building. I've seen sale leaseback transactions occur. I've seen a management team, what they call their whole organizations that come in and essentially become the management of a given entity or station. And they become the managers, external management. And they essentially carry through against goals, because internal management many times just burned out, can't really lay off people they feel close to or don't have ideas about how it could be done humanely. All those are options.
My question is, Lonnie, how soon is the day, if current spending and income patterns persist, how soon is the day that the AI
it's in my
it's not
CFO
going to be
report.
Able to make its own payroll?
It's in my CFO report, April. It's right there, April.
Thank you.
Okay, so what you've said, let me just go back to Baruti. Is this the first time you've heard, like, the options that Lonnie is saying, and if things are not, if there's not an immediate turnaround or actions? I mean, is this the first that you've heard of that? That's what the options that we're facing at BAI, and do people understand?
Is that in the CFO report, Lonnie? Because I have to admit, I haven't read the CFO report.
You pay a heavy price.
So no, I, if it's in the report, I haven't heard that. But the issue is, obviously we have to address the potentially $33,000 shortfall in the drive. And I guess the bigger issue is that, because the other cuts can be put into effect. The only one that's really on hold is, I would imagine, the 5% salary cut. Is that correct, Lonnie?
BI does buy time by having this grant of $85,000. That certainly has helped. That money will be coming through actually in about 3 weeks.
Right. So
money might be over for a while, but April is again the wall.
Right. But I'm saying in terms of cuts that can be implemented, everything that's in the budget can be done except for the salary ones. As a matter of fact, the 4% that was supposed to go into effect, that didn't go into effect. So that's already it's just really the 5% cut that's on hold at this point. But anything else that was approved in the budget, I would imagine, can be. And I mean, there's nothing that prevents management from implementing anything else that's in the budget. It's just this 5% across the board, whatever, 5% salary adjustment. And the other question I had, I guess, is somewhat related, is that I understand that the whole there was a motion that was going to get BAI funding for a development person, but I understand that didn't pass. That was referred back to us, right?
Yes, it was referred back to your finance.
Right. So what is what are we to do with that?
It's on the agenda for tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But Baruti, what you were saying though, but see, remember WBI has two other, the budget itself is in jeopardy for some reasons I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that you got pending legal connected with the election. It's not in your budget. It obviously throw the budget to serious deficit again. And the second drive may not meet goal. And you would have some of those issues. The fulfillment plan might not work out to 83%. Representing an exposure, and the back bills. You got $300,000 in debt. that are real issues too. That's some sort of pay down plan, which is not in the budget, would have to be contemplated at some point. So yeah, there's still exposure, and there's still some issues, and revenue, programming. If revenue takes a serious step, remember the economy is horrible. All stations will be affected by the fact that people will have less disposable income and worried about their stock portfolios or their retirement plans. Remember, our people are older. They are being impacted. Their retirement monies are being impacted by this downturn in the economy. So they may have less money to give to causes they support and have supported in the past.
Well, I think I might have to rekindle my operational audit idea, because I still think that that would be a valuable investment, because obviously I don't know how else we find out what can really be done at the station to change it operationally without someone coming in and doing that sort of operational review.
Yeah. But how will they get paid for? You know what I mean? You run up against money issues wherever you go.
How
will it get paid for? Excellent idea. I do support that. And I mentioned that before. Somebody coming in and having a new management group or management team on external management process, and go for it. The funding might be an issue. We could always borrow the money, I suppose. But still, in the end, you still run up against dollar issues, no matter what your solution set might look like.
Well, I mean, those are some of the investments that you have to make if an entity wants to borrow. In other words, if that's the difference between survival and not surviving, you borrow those funds in order to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree. That may be, in the end, having a fresh look and making real changes.
Right. Well, I'm not saying we bring in the management team. I think we need to have the assessment done first. And then you decide whether or not it can be done, handled internally, or if somebody external has to be brought in. But somebody's got to come in at first and identify what can be done before we decide who's to do it or what should be done.
I agree. I don't know radio operations. I know finance, but I'm not up on radio operations. But do you have an idea in that area about who could do what BA needs doing? Who would that be? What group, what company, who could do it? Happy to follow up.
I think we should put together an RFP.
RFP?
Cool, we'll hire a board member.
Do I hear a recommendation coming? Do we have the beginnings of maybe a recommendation here?
Well, I'll make the recommendation that we put together. I mean, I don't know who would actually put together an RFP, but we need to. I recommend that we put together an RFP to have an operational audit done of the station. I mean, that doesn't commit us to any resources. That just lets us find out what it would cost to pursue something like this. I think we should at least find out what it would cost. So if we're discussing it, we're not discussing it in a vacuum. We know, what the costs are versus the benefits. But I think putting it on RFP doesn't cost us anything.
Well, we're still running up against the deadline of April. So whatever we do, in a sense, the crash will happen in April on the payroll side.
Right. I mean, so time is of the essence, because by the time you put the RFP out, people respond to it. You select the person if you decide to take that step, and then they do their analysis and you implement. I mean, April is right here.
Well, anyone else? What would be the discussion points on that particular idea?
Brian.
I don't actually think that's the kind of thing you'd put an RFP out for, because it's a relatively small job. I think you would contact a few different firms and get quotes and proposals from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever.
It might not be as complicated as putting together an RFP. Maybe you just need to ask your executive director to prioritize that and release some funds for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you could have people, you know, I mean, do we do, so in other words, you're suggesting that we don't do the spec set. We just let consultants come in and let us know what they, you know, work from what they think should be done kind of thing? Or?
I would say you start by asking them what they typically do in a situation like this. The point is, we don't know or we would have done it. I mean, I don't know if you want to go that route. The colloquial term for those firms is hatchetmen. But, I mean, I think it would start with a phone call, not an RFP.
Well, we do. We have worked with firms that have offered to do things like this for us. Like Compass Point does organizational audits, you know, a company here in San Francisco. But I guess the question is that sound like a good enough idea to put to a motion and recommend it?
Okay, do we want, Brewer, did you want to start? Because I, you know, so we want to look at generating an RFP. You know what we could do? We could do a motion in finance and then just do our little work groups to pull together the RFP. Rudy, Lonnie, and whoever else would like to be on it, and then we can try to meet sometime soon, and maybe next week, next Monday or Tuesday, whatever, and try to pull it together and then go from there. Because as I've said, and this is basically that this needs to be done for the total organization, but BAI is critical. So do we want to do a work group and pull together the RFP?
I'll volunteer.
Okay, for Rudy, is that...
Yeah, put me on.
Okay, so we don't need to do a motion right now. We'll just do a work group. Liney, I will work with it.
Okay. Why don't we set a first meeting while we're thinking about it?
Yes.
And I can make some phone calls. We have sort of done part of that with, you know, organizations like Compass Point. And they made
points. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And we'll try to meet when... Let's try for, like, maybe next Tuesday.
Let me see. Next Tuesday is... I'm lost. What month is this? November? Tuesday is a whole different
month. It'll be December.
The fourth. Okay. Can I say yes, but I have to run?
Yes.
In the about what time?
Morning's best for me.
Yeah.
Morning. Which is
11 o'clock our time, 2 o'clock your time?
2 o'clock my time. Okay, if we can keep it for the first meeting for an hour, I could do that as my lunch hour?
Good. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
That's Tuesday the 4th? The 3rd?
Okay, I'm going to run. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
Okay, Tuesday the 4th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Anyone else that would want to join the party to see what could be done?
Okay. Well, we'll post it. We'll throw in our little email here, and we can just move forward. Because I think we have some formats on both RFPs and on, like you said, you get the Compass Point template in terms of what they offer. I think I might have one also, and we'll move from there. And I think that we'll be basically there after maybe one or two meetings. The initial one will have the template, and then follow up maybe later in the week, and then we'll have it ready. So we have our meetings. Okay, we set for next month. Okay, so shall we move the agenda?
Is that Lonnie Brody and Levine on the work group?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. We just get together and do it.
Yeah. Okay. We have that. Shall we move the agenda? Okay. Next on the agenda is, I think, the PNB motion.
National Development Director for BAI.
I thought that Lonnie was supposed to speak to that.
Yeah.
I'm
aware that folks feel that the money is tight, and producing money for the development person to work with all stations, but would initially focus on WBAI. I think in light of this particular motion, maybe we would hold this one in abeyance